Welcome to another episode of the CDH Women Empowerment Podcast Series. Today, we are discussing the art of mentorship through a woman's lens. A podcast where we will be unpacking the power of mentorship, not just as a professional tool, but as a driver of meaningful culture in the workplace. I'm your host, Katekani Mashamba, a senior associate, mentor, and someone who has personally benefited from and deeply values the mentorship journey. Today, I am joined by two remarkable women, both leaders, mentors, and champions of transformation in the legal profession. Please welcome Pitheni Nkuna and Yvonne Mkefa.
Hi, Katekani. Thanks for having us. Well, being introduced as a leader, mentor, and a champion of transformation is just humbling. I guess it carries a level of benevolence and is an opportunity to shape the future. So I'm honored to be here.
Hi, ladies. I'm excited. I always value these opportunities to sow seeds, to give tools, to educate, and just to reflect. Thank you for inviting me.
So let's jump right into today's discussion. Let's start with something foundational to mentorship, trust. As mentors, we are entrusted with vulnerability, ambition, and sometimes even frustration. How have you both learned to build and maintain trust in your mentor-mentee relationships? Let me start with you, Pitheni.
For me, there cannot be trust where there is no safety. You know, safety is very central to building trust. There are three things in my journey as a mentor, as well as having been mentored myself, that I find very vital to building that trust environment. First is confidentiality. Mentorship is really centered around vulnerability, people trusting you with their weaknesses, the struggles, the failures, what they don't know and what confuses them. They trust you to give them feedback, and it may not always be praise. It could also be constructive feedback. That space is very sacred and private and cannot be breached. It's really an obligation on you as a mentor to protect that space. And it also goes to the very ethics around these type of relationships, you know. You play a role in keeping that space protected and private as it should be. The second one is honesty. Honesty for me is about what you know and what you don't know. First, as a mentor, you know, the humility of acknowledging that you don't know the full universe of what people encounter in corporate South Africa, in workspaces, in their relationships between their juniors and their seniors. That humility for me is foundational when you talk about honesty, giving honest feedback, you know, not beating around the bush, especially when you want to reprimand, when you want to call out a wrong, to do it with the sincerity, the honesty, and the respect and empathy that it deserves. Also, healthy emotional vulnerability is still also very much a part of honesty, self-disclosure, being able to bring you into my space as my mentee, telling you, opening up to you about my own professional failures, my mistakes, my anxieties, and not shying away from uncomfortable conversations. That helps build a connection and makes you relatable as a mentor. Then finally, care, genuinely caring about your mentee, checking upon them, you know, seeing your promises through. If I promise you to look into something, if I promise you to give something more thought, I should follow through on my word and actually give you feedback. You know, part of that conversation is discussing and tracking progress. Mentorship is not just a nice to have. It's not just about having coffee. It's about ironing out expectations, setting up goals, and tracking progress that you find fruitfulness and productivity in those engagements.
So when we talk about trust, trust is different from rapport. Rapport can be likened to in an instance where a mentor and a mentee having some chemistry to relate, and building from there. So trust for me is quite critical. And I think it's different from rapport because it also involves a level of vulnerability, which you have mentioned. And you actually start building from that and you build over a period of time. How I build trust with my mentee is that I actually introduce myself. That is beyond just my name. And what do I mean by that? So we've seen from experience that in mentorship relationships, you are often identified as a mentor because of a portrayed or a visible successful life, right? Or where people pick you because they admire something about you or something about your life. But we know that that is not the full picture. So by introducing myself, I'm actually starting the process of bringing out the hidden pieces of the puzzles of my life to the fore. So I introduce myself. I introduce myself to the mentee. I introduce them to Yvonne, the girl, the daughter that was raised by a very humorous dad and a strict mom. I introduce them to a wife, a mom, herself, a lawyer, a leader in a local church, an executive, and most importantly, the girl inside that the grown woman who can be very funny, who can be naughty, humorous, and witty at the same time. I also let them know that the grown woman still has dreams, right? That the mentorship, even for the grown woman who is Yvonne, still continues. I also share with them my vision that I'm still pursuing. And I think on the other end, I also encourage them to do the same, of course, at their own pace and at the level of their comfort. This keeps the relationship or the mentorship to be more human-centric as opposed to tasks and please give me feedback when we meet the next time. This is what I'm expecting from you. And that over time, the trust is built and we're able to have a very meaningful mentorship journey.
For me, building trust starts with showing up consistently and authentically. I think mentees can always tell when you're not being present. And this ties in with what Pitini said about checking in and tracking progress. I think it's also about knowing when to listen more than speak. I like what you said, Yvonne, about sharing parts of you as well. And I think that leads us perfectly into my next question. Listening, noticing, and holding space. Mentorship isn't just about giving advice, you know. Sometimes it's about noticing what isn't being said, reading between those lines and creating space for someone to feel seen. How have the unspoken skills shaped how you show up as a mentor?
You mentioned noticing what isn't said and reading between the lines, and that takes listening with both your ears and listening with your heart. I've been in conversations where mentees relay their stories while they're laughing. And when you actually listen quite carefully, what they're saying really isn't that funny. In fact, they would be using laughter as a way to cope with anxiety and discomfort. So as a mentor, holding space in that moment is quite important because you need to hear what isn't being said. And that is critical because it will also inform how you show up for the mentee meaningfully. And one way that you could do that is that you could listen without really pointing out what you're noticing in that point in time, because the mentee may not be ready to hear what you're noticing, what is not being said, and defer that to a later conversation when you can tell that the mentee is ready to hear what you have observed and what is it that you heard without it being said. That's actually quite important because that requires sage and it requires that you even suspend your own judgment. And that is critical for that relationship to actually prosper and being meaningful for both the mentee and the mentor.
What you just said really takes me back to Maya Angelou's, one of her famous quotes. I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. It's very important, you know, I echo what Yvonne has said, to be fully present in an age where multiple things compete for our attention. You can fall into the temptation of fidgeting with your phone, of looking outside the window, of quickly responding to an email when a person is actually in need of your attention. That in itself says, I'm here, but I'm not here, you know, and in that moment, you miss out on the critical opportunity of discerning, of observing even the nonverbal cues. Just looking into a person's eyes, you can read something, you can read distress, you know, you can read anxiety by just looking, by just listening, you know, making notes, giving that person that physical affirmation that I hear you. Something as simple as when someone is speaking and you nod and you go, okay, you know, prompting, you know, and just creating that space, acknowledging that. In as much as I probably may have a view, in as much as I would like us to explore a potential solution, in that moment, I'm going to pause. I'm going to listen to you. I've even personally gone to a point of actually scheduling my sessions so that we don't have a clash of appointments. When it's our session, it's our session. I will be fully present. I will sound back to you what you say. You know, sometimes it could be that someone is saying something, but it's actually not a crisis. They just wanted to hear back to them, if I may say. And in those moments, you know, there are critical learnings, there are critical opportunities for connection, you know, creating space for more. And it's also an opportunity to empower someone, you know, teaching them about self-regulation. What happens with that in crisis? What happens when they feel a particular type of way? Those are critical moments. And that's why being present and fully so is important as a mentor.
Observing the nonverbal cues. I love that. And I found that the moments where I simply listened without solving have been some of the most powerful or impactful, if I may say. I also love the line about listening with your heart. There's power in holding space for growth rather than trying to direct it. With that said, ladies, we've all had learning moments in our mentorship journeys, times where we didn't quite get it right. Can you share a mentorship misstep that taught you something valuable?
Katikan, I actually chuckled because, yeah, we are holding up mirrors, you know, to ourselves. But yeah, we were naive at the time and went behind the ears. So one of my lessons is seeing, allowing or enabling your mentee to idolize you. In my early days of mentorship, I naively thought it was important to be seen as someone who does not make mistakes. What inevitably happens is that the mentee finds out that you are human and that you do make mistakes. And the disappointment is often so palpable. And it takes courage to go back to the mentorship relationship, especially for the mentee, because it is at that moment that they'll be questioning themselves whether they made the right decision, picking you to be their mentor. And two, it gives them a pause to decide whether or not, or how they're going to dismount you from that pedestal, because after all, they've been idolizing you. So because it is tough for the mentee, as a mentor, you have to make the first step. You have to be the one who brings back the mentorship relationship back on track, and also debunk the myths about mentorship and that you shouldn't be idolized. And also making sure that they also understand that mentorship is not about perfection. Mentorship is about decisions, making the right decisions and making the decisions in the right way. And you build from there. There is no leader that has not made mistakes, and they need to lead responsibly and authentically. So I think for me, when I look back, is that you can't allow, even if you see signs of your mentee idolizing you, you have to be able to deal with it right up front so that there aren't any disappointment and they know why you are there, why both of you are in this relationship.
For me, I struggled a bit with this question. As Ebon says, it's a question about introspection, self-introspection, which is often such a task. The one thing that stood out was a healthy emotional vulnerability. I think for me, that was probably one notable misstep. And healthy emotional vulnerability is being able as a mentor to speak about your own personal professional failures, anxieties, mistakes, you know, and I wasn't conscious of just how necessary that is to bring you closer to your mentee so that they actually see you as a credible source because you've walked a journey and you're able to speak about that journey. For as long as I held back that part of my journey, I soon realized that I was unrelatable. There was an invisible wall between me and my mentees, which I couldn't break. And it didn't necessarily mean dropping bombs after bombs on people. It's, you know, as a mentor, you also need to have a certain level of maturity, knowing when to say certain things, how to say certain things. There are certain things that you don't want to say too early in the journey because there's also risk, you know, around emotional vulnerability, undermining your own credibility. So, but mastering the skill of healthy emotional vulnerability. You know, I had to learn techniques. I had to learn how to do that with wisdom, with strategy, and with strength to empower my mentees and assure them that what you're going through is not out of the norm. You know, you're not crazy. It's okay. You know, we've also gone through, it may not be similar experiences, but your personal journey is just as important to be brought into the relationship as a mentor. And I found that has improved my mentee relationships immensely.
I love hearing that we are all human. And I agree with Yvonne that you have this thing that you have to sort of appear perfect, but we're not. And I think that goes into my biggest misstep, which I think was focusing on sometimes giving solutions to what has worked for me when I made similar mistakes or faced similar challenges that I may be discussing with the mentee at that particular time, but forgetting that they are on their own journey. So I think it's always better to guide their thinking instead of trying to help them with solutions, because at the end of the day, we need to remember that they are on their own journey. You know, so it's about allowing them to go through their own journey as well. And this comes in with emotional intelligence. So let's talk about that. I think it's often seen as a soft skill, but in reality, it's a strategic asset, especially in mentorship. So I just want to hear from you ladies how having EQ has played a role in the way you mentor or how you were mentored when you were still a mentee, and if even now, if you are still being mentored.
We've seen, I mean, there's now research that shows that emotional intelligence, what we refer as EQ, is actually an asset for organization, but also for individuals, right? EQ sets you apart. It distinguishes high-performing teams from average or dysfunctional teams. It also gives organization a competitive advantage. Having been an executive in one of the financial institutions, I could see the difference between leaders that have a healthy EQ and those that didn't, that they would deliver results, but it wouldn't be sustainable. EQ, for me, in simple terms, can be defined as the ability to manage both your own emotions. Right. So that's important if we're a mentor. And also understand the emotions of people around you. This, for me, is key. Being able to read the room and being aware of your own actions and responses to what is presenting at that point in time is very critical. It's critical for success. To me, in its simplistic form, it shows respect for the people around you. It shows that you value them and you're not taking anything for granted. It says that I'm holding myself accountable for every step I take and every decision that I make. And not only in the long term, but in the shortest form of terms, right? Which is the right here and now. And that skill is important even in the mentorship relationship. The mentee also needs to understand what does that look like. There are elements of EQ that speaks to what I've just mentioned. One of them is self-awareness, self-regulation. And Pettin did mention self-regulation earlier, and that's critical. And the last one is empathy. Those are the elements, the attributes that are critical for the here and the now, right? And they're critical also that not only do you have self-mastery, but you're also able to win in the marketplace as an individual. But most importantly, when you're in a mentorship relationship, you're also building for the future, right? You're investing into the future by imparting what you know to your mentee. So you are actually contributing to future leaders. So not only are you able to ensure that you and your mentee win in the marketplace, but you also are making sure that when you lead and when your mentee leads, they do so responsibly. And we know that the world needs such leaders.
I mean, Yvonne has said it all, really. You talk about empathy. Yeah, empathy fosters trust and openness. It's quite a critical element of EQ. The more your mentees trust, the more they'll open up to you, you know. You'll get to learn of their challenges quicker. You'll get to collaborate on how to navigate their spaces. You'll be able to provide constructive feedback in a meaningful way that also leaves them feeling safe and not exposed. You know, I spoke about being able to detect and read nonverbal cues. That comes with the social awareness that Yvonne speaks about when you talk about EQ, you know, the ability to discern, to even detect differences, you know, as somebody is speaking, to be able to discern that, okay, this is where I need to go. This is probably where I should do a U-turn. And I'm not saying you lose being genuine or authentic. You are just socially aware and you adjust your messaging accordingly, given the circumstances. That's very important. That level of agility is very important because you don't want to lose your mentee because you are not aware. And self-regulation, you know, we speak about your emotional state, how you respond in a certain situation, but also recognizing and managing your own triggers. You know, it does happen in the mentor-mentee relationship that someone says something that reminds you of your own journey. Maybe you've experienced something similar and it triggers something in you, not dominating the conversation or the relationship because now you want to talk about me, myself, and I. To be aware of those triggers and how you respond objectively and calmly to your mentee so that you don't dominate, you don't potentially destroy that relationship or lose their trust. But definitely emotional intelligence, very, very key in this relationship.
I agree that emotional intelligence is definitely key in this relationship. And I think it's how we bridge differences, navigate power dynamics, and possibly earn real influence, you know, not just in mentorship, but in leadership. But let's connect this to the bigger picture, culture. Pettini, you are part of the executive management team at the firm. How have you seen women use mentorship not only to advance in their careers, but to shape the culture of the spaces that they're in?
So whilst very notable strides have been made towards bridging or closing the gender equality gap, whether we're talking pay disparities, how many roles are occupied by females, the gap remains wide and there's ample research to back that up. Mentorship continues to come up as one of the recommended ways, not just to advance women's careers, but to also create a culture that is inclusive of women, that accommodates what women stands for, that makes space for women to thrive, to excel, to achieve their goals. Through mentorship, we've seen what mentorship can do. Its ability to help women identify and develop skills that are necessary for advancement. You know, there's a saying, opportunity loves preparation. If there's a position available and you have women as potential incumbents, there is, without capacity, without them having obtained the necessary skills, qualifications, or building capacity in whatever format that role requires, they would not be preferred. Because we still have to be fair. You shouldn't be put into a role simply because you're a woman. But through mentorship, we're able to identify, create career pathways, career development plans specific to women to help prepare them for the opportunities as and when they arise. It even goes further. Through mentorship, women have created opportunities for themselves, being self-starters, being go-getters, not waiting to be given that opportunity because they have been empowered. Secondly, navigating workplace challenges. It is no secret. Corporate politics are quite a beast on its own. And without the structural support, without the support that mentorship offers, it can be very difficult to navigate. We're talking politics, team dynamics, something as simple as even negotiating a salary increase or a salary when you begin employment, you know, addressing discrimination in the workplace. Mentorship plays a very fundamental role in helping women navigate those dynamics smartly and strategically. It prepares and equips them with the tools that they need, knowing how to, knowing what to say, what not to say, how to approach challenges, you know, almost giving them a hymn sheet, giving them a tool book, you know, that becomes very useful when they are confronted with certain challenges. There's a quote I came across that says, the right mentor will not give you the answers, but will help you find the courage to ask the right questions. That's exactly the role of mentorship, empowering women with the skills, with the knowledge, and breathing into them the confidence to speak, to take up space, to go after those tough, difficult jobs. That's exactly it. Building strong networks. Being in professional services, we all appreciate the importance of a network, you know, from having a network of women who are doing what you're doing, who are in your environment, and also having a network of clients, because the game is about that. It's about clients. It's about making money. It's about building relationships, bringing in the work, bringing in the money, you know, and if you are not plugged into a network, that becomes challenging, because how do you go out there and start selling your service and, you know, business development? Mentorship serves the role of bridging that gap and showing you the ropes, equipping you. This is how you go about it. Finally, I touched on this earlier, building confidence. We have been having a long conversation for years about imposter syndrome. Mentorship helps deal with that. Women feeling like they don't belong. You know, you've made it, but you still feel like you haven't made it. You feel like you're occupying someone else's space. You feel like, I don't deserve to be where I am, but I am here? Am I faking it? You know, feeling of inadequacy. You know, mentorship helps women manage that, manage stress, manage failures and rejection, helps build resilience. All of those things contribute to a culture where women are empowered. Women are not overlooked. Women, I'm very certain about their place. There is purpose, there is clear, deliberate, intentional measures, mechanisms in place to empower them, to get them to the top. That's so fundamental to culture and what helps women thrive in the workplace.
I love that. And I think it reflects our firm's culture. We don't see mentorship as a checkbox or a kindness, but as a way to build continuity, transformation, and institutional strength. Why do you believe mentorship isn't a soft skill, but a strategic one?
It's fundamental. When you talk about nurturing of talent, and there are multiple parts to it. We talk about talent acquisition, you know, career development, employee value proposition, talent retention. Not just women. Having now been in executive management, I've come to appreciate that it's not even just exclusive to women, but talent out there is interested in knowing, does my career matter to you if I was to join your organization? What are you doing to grow me, to plant back into me? You know, in as much as I'm there to render a service, I get remunerated for that. Outside of our contractual relationship, what are the gains? What is available? You know, and those are questions that organizations are becoming more and more aware of. Talent acquisition, when you go out there, fine, you're looking for an associate, but what else? What else is on the table aside from the role and the money? So mentorship has become very important when you go out there, from as early as when we're recruiting CAs. You know, CAs want to know, what's your employee value proposition? What does career development look like? Is there a structure in place? How will I be assisted in navigating the challenges of a corporate law firm? And mentorship becomes very important, not just to speak about the program, but to be able to reference its achievements, you know, being able to say, oh, yes, this is our program. These are the directors that participate. It's very important for prospective employees to hear that, because it says we take their development seriously. Mentorship also plays a very key role in creating an inclusive environment. And for women, I think of women who are going on maternity leave, who are considering, you know, becoming mothers. You know, what does that look like? Does the employer recognize that my career journey is different from a woman who is not considering having a family or having children? You know, all of those conversations find their way into mentorship. And once you've dealt with the structural issues around that, how then do you help them navigate the different dynamics? How do they transition from being a mommy back into the corporate space, making the necessary adjustments and getting back at it? Mentorship is very much important in that. I spoke about establishing networks, and part of that is visibility and cross-selling. Mentorships have given so many women an opportunity to make their name known. If you just get into an organization and disappear into the billable hour, chances are, when you look at an organization as big as ours, chances are someone might actually never know that you're even in the firm. But when you plug yourself into programs like the mentorship program, that enhances your visibility, you know. And if you are paid, for example, I'm a director and I know that, okay, my mentee this is the career pathway. You know, I'm able to make the necessary introductions. You are interested in this type of law. I'm able to speak to a fellow director and say, oh, listen, I have a mentee who's interested in this. Do you mind just giving them insights into how this works? So creating that visibility, those have also created opportunities for cross-selling. When you are known, it's easier for people to pick up the phone, send your team's message, hey, I have a mentor. Hey, I know you're interested in this type of work. I have this going on. Do you mind coming on board and collaborating? Mentorship also improves employee engagement. And finally, career planning, guidance, and goal setting, because we do want women to advance. And using mentorship helps to prepare women, you know, to set clear expectations and goals and help them through the process to navigate and reach those milestones, so that they eventually get to their set goals.
Thank you, Pateni. And I agree, we need to start speaking of mentorship in the same breath as performance, retention, and leadership development, because that's exactly what drives it. Before we close, I'd like us to share, what is the one thing you always tell your mentees? And I think I want us to keep this one short and memorable. For me, if I may start, I always tell my mentees to have a spiritual grounding, a place where they go for getting their strength back. And I think this comes from the fact that as professionals, we have dark days and you have to go through them, but you can never let them define you.
For me, Katikani, is that feedback is a gift. You can use it or lose it. You actually have a choice. Admittedly, feedback may not always be accurate, right? But it is important that you receive feedback, because there may be a grain of truth in what is being said. And a grain, while it is small, but it can really change the trajectory of your life. So you can use it or lose it. But my advice to my mentee is that you better use it.
I stole this from boxing. For as long as you keep rising, you are winning. Failure will be when you just lay down and refuse to get back up. And it just always reminds me that it doesn't matter the beatings, you know, those are part of growth. And I'm not talking about physical beatings, because we do not allow that. But I'm talking about, you know, the process of refinement, especially as you're growing in your career. It's a furnace. Let us not shy away from that. You know, someone once called it a crucible, but for as long as you keep standing up, getting a punch after punch, you are winning.
Thank you so much, Pateni and Yvonne, for such a rich and honest conversation. I think it's clear that mentorship, when done with intention, does have the power to change, and not only careers, but cultures and communities. To our listeners, thank you for joining us. Whether you're a mentee, a mentor, or somewhere in between, we hope this inspired you to approach mentorship with fresh eyes and a renewed purpose. Until next time, thank you.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication, and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.